This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNee. U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday refused to condemn the teenage shooting suspect accused of killing two people in Kenosha, Wisconsin, saying that he probably would have been killed if he hadn't fatally shot the demonstrators. Speaking during a White House briefing Sunday, Mr. Trump said the suspect was being very violently attacked before he opened fire. Last week, Kyle Rittenhouse grabbed an AR-15-style rifle and joined several other armed people in the streets of Kenosha, where businesses had been vandalized and buildings burned following a police shooting that left Jacob Blake, a black man, paralyzed. By the end of the night, prosecutors say Rittenhouse had killed two people and severely wounded a third. Mr. Trump also addressed accusations that supporters of his in Portland were themselves being violent. Video widely circulated online shows a caravan of Trump supporters shooting paintballs at protesters. Paint is a defensive mechanism. Paint is not bullets, he said. They protested peacefully. For the first time, a self-identified member of the militant movement known as Antifa has been implicated in a fatal shooting. The person is reportedly under investigation for killing a supporter of President Donald Trump Saturday in Portland, Oregon. The left-wing protest movement has resorted to violent measures in the past in opposition to right-wing extremist groups, but has stopped short of lethal tactics. The victim, Aaron J. Danielson, was shot in the chest during violent skirmishes between the members of a right-wing group called Patriot Prayer and counter-demonstrators that included Antifa and others. Police are investigating, but they have not named a specific suspect. The FBI said it is supporting that investigation. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. More than 849,000 people have now died globally from COVID-19. While in less than a 24-hour period, the number of infections jumped by about 200,000 to more than 25.4 million. Four countries, the U.S., Brazil, India, and Russia, account for nearly 15 million of those cases. The Federal Bureau of Prisons will begin allowing inmates to have visitors again in October, months after visits were suspended at the 122 federal prisons across the United States. The visitation plan is detailed in an internal memo issued Monday and obtained by the Associated Press. Wardens are instructed to immediately begin developing local procedures to reinstate social visiting. Fitness gyms, barbershops, and internet cafes have been allowed to reopen partly in the Philippine capital as the government further eased quarantine restrictions despite the country having the most coronavirus infections in Southeast Asia. President Rodrigo Duterte, however, placed the southern city under a mild lockdown after a rise in community infections, underscoring how COVID-19 cases have spread away from the capital, Metropolitan Manila, the epicenter of the pandemic in the country. Night curfew hours have been shortened in most cities in the capital and outlying provinces under the new arrangements, which will last for a month. Belarusian opposition leader will address the United Nations Security Council on Friday. Currently in Lithuania, citing fear for her safety following the election. And the Baltic state Estonia, a non-permanent member of the Security Council, invited her to speak to the group. Meanwhile, Baltic states have imposed travel sanctions on Belarusian leaders, including the longtime president, Alexander Lukashenko. As protests against his leadership continue, the demonstration started after Lukashenko 80% of the vote in a disputed presidential election. Protests began when he was declared the winner of the presidential election early August amid widespread allegations of voter fraud. Sudan's transitional power-sharing government has reached a peace deal with an alliance of rebel groups from the troubled western region of Darfur. The government says it initialed a pact Monday in Juba, the capital of the neighboring South Sudan, with a coalition of rebel groups themselves, the Sudan Revolutionary Front. The final agreement offers the rebel groups political representation, integration into the national security forces, and economic and land rights. The pact also allows for people who fled Darfur to escape the bloodshed to return to their homes. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News. And more.